plans for their mission out there. Looking at Isaiah 61 and preaching the good news to the poor as well, and being missionaries. Phil's going to start with giving us the background of their plans, how it's come to fruition, and then Kath's going to share about what they're going to be doing while they're out there in Zambia. Then they're going to be asking questions.
Okay, thank you, Mary. Hello, everyone. Good to see you. Just bear with me. This presentation is slightly awkward for, well, I thought it was going to be for three reasons, but maybe end up being four reasons. thank you, Jared. For three reasons. Firstly, we don't know all of you that well. Some of you we know very well. And we're trying to just get everyone up to speed with where we are at as a family. So please, those of you who know us very well, bear with me as I go through a lot of stuff you probably already know. If I haven't even met you before, apologies for all this random stuff about a random family, but hopefully you'll find something encouraging in it, maybe. It's also difficult because I haven't prepared it before. Have we got the something coming up, or we may have a fifth difficulty? So while that's happening, and the other reason that it's sort of difficult is the just sort of the emotional aspects of this. In its, Bromsgrove is my hometown. I've been here for nearly 39 years, and Grace Church is my home church. I've been part of this fellowship for over 11 years, and we're getting to this point of seriously considering or preparing for moving on. So. Anyway, that's a bit of a waffle in the hope that problem number five would have been resolved. It just seemed a good time to bring everyone up to speed, because I'm aware that, you know, a lot of people know something. A very few people probably do know everything. Then others just know bits and bobs. So we don't want a sort of an uncertainty over us as to what's going on. So hence today, and just explaining really where we're at. Ever since Kath and I came together, God started bringing us together 6 years ago, we had been considering Africa as a destination for our sort of longer term serving God. It's taken a while longer than we'd have expected to get to this point. We might have thought we'd have already been out there by now. If we can go on to the next slide, we'd been looking at the sub-Saharan African, that's region in general, that's the green bit there. Kath had grew up indeed in Africa and had been over here to complete her surgical training in the NHS, always with the intention of going back to serve God by using her skills and gifting in surgery. So when it came to the point of me seriously considering proposing to her, I thought, well, I better be prepared to join her on this adventure. So that was a particular point for me to be really concentratedly praying through things and getting to grips with the idea. Once I had done, I then proposed, and Kath said yes. So there we are. We've had a few delays on the way, and one of them is called Sammy. When he appeared just over 3 years ago, we took the opportunity with Kath on maternity leave to pop out to Zambia, if we could go to the next slide. We weren't really sort of expecting much other than this was just going to be 3 months with Kath's family who live out there and farm out there. But it turned out to be they're at the red dot, Mukushi, more or less in the centre of the country. But it turned out to be a very significant point, particularly through the prayer meeting that we had just before we went, and the words that were given us then. And then as we were out there, it became clear that Zambia was where God was calling us to be. So, for the subsequent two and a half years, we're trying to make a plan to go to Makushi to make a home there, to be near Kath's family, to find some part-time work and take opportunities to serve God in other sort of more philanthropic endeavours. But when we went out last September to really start actually getting something, some plan in place, we were asking questions and pushing doors, so to speak, and nothing opened at all, which was a little discouraging. So we came back after that to a three-week holiday, thinking, what do we do now? Because we didn't have faith to land in Makushi without a plan. So we thought about things and prayed about things, and we both together felt that the next thing to do was to approach a mission organisation called Serving in Mission, or SIM. This is an international mission organisation who work with churches across the world to send and receive missionaries to work in all sorts of different contexts. We'd briefly come across these people and had really loved their warmth, love for God, their desire to see people serving in the mission field, regardless of whether it was actually with SIM or not. So we decided, right, let's contact the chap we'd met before. So I was just sat there emailing him when I sat next to Kath on the sofa, and she was having a quick look on Facebook, and there's a personal contact of yours, of Kath's, who posted up a sort of an informal sort of advert saying this particular hospital in Zambia was in need of, was it initially the anaesthetist? And then just a short time later, they put up another advert saying, well, actually, they need a general surgeon as well, which is just what Kath is. Coincidentally, or not, while we had been out in Zambia trying to find a way to be in Makushi, Kath's dad had thrown a book at us called To Africa with Love on the establishment of this one particular hospital in Zambia back in the 1950s. So we'd read that with interest. It turned out that that was the same hospital that where they're advertising this position for general surgeon. So anyway, we make contact with SIM. Their local representative, Hannah, comes and speaks with us and said, yeah, I've been talking to the Zambia office, and this hospital at Makingi, if we can go on a slide, it was there briefly, that's problem number six, we're doing well on our tally here. She said, I've been speaking to these people at the hospital, and yes, they've got this opening for a general surgeon. No pun intended. Not that anyone got it anyway, did they? They've got this position for a general surgeon, and they also need a hospital maintenance supervisor. So given the rather jack-of-all-trades sort of engineer, sort of builder that I've become, that seemed to fit the bill. Anyway, having spoken to them, we then prayed about it, because this was then actually a very different proposition from what we'd been thinking of. Okay, it's the same country, and looking at that picture, they don't seem all that far apart, but rather than moving area from here being close to my family to a different area, which happens to be abroad, to be near Kath's family and to work and worship God there, this was changing to full-time mission, volunteering our time, and being rather more isolated, because to give you some idea of Makushi to Makingi, it's about sort of similar to driving from here to Aberdeen without using the motorways. And of course, not all the roads are as good as ours. It is a pretty remote, rural location. Kath will tell you more about the hospital itself. But in contrast to our plans to try and sort of make our own way to Makushi, the way has just opened up before us, and we've applied to be associate members of SIM, and they've accepted us, and like all good Premier League players, on the condition that our medical checks go through okay. But hopefully that will be fine. So we've got to this point. Nothing's set in stone yet. No dates have been set. But we realise that this is the point where we really do need you. The amount of stuff that's on our plates at the moment and is on my mind, it's frankly too much for me to cope with. So we're in need of prayer, in need of sort of friendship and in due course other support. But we've been extraordinarily blessed through Grace Church, both individually before God brought us together and together as a couple and as a family by all of you. And we're so very grateful. And we want to remain connected with you and to be Grace Church's representatives out there as well as just God's people, as well as being SIM's people. Very much want to provide what opportunity we can to you to connect in with that in prayer or other ways. We've told SIM we'll give them 2 years of our time in the first instance, and we'll be thinking and praying through what happens after that while we are there. So that's our summary of our journey, of how we got to what we're seriously looking at now. For a flavour of Makingi itself and what we might be up to, I'm going to hand you over to Kath.
I'm really chuffed to see the two banners up either side, because actually my first side you'll see is taken from that banner, if you put the next slide up, thanks. Because when I was preparing this, I put this slide in front of me while I was preparing, because I was thinking, this is who we are and what we're doing. We're going to do something that Grace Church is doing, which is wanting to impact Bromsgrove and the ends of the earth with the good news of Jesus. And I very much feel that we are part of Grace Church in doing this. It's not just us going, it's a Grace Church thing to reach to the ends of the earth. So God's taking us, as Phil's mentioned, to Makingi, which is, I've got a picture on the next slide of the sign there. This is a 220-bed District General Hospital. I'll tell you a little bit more about it in a moment. It has recently been transitioned from being run by the mission agency, by SIM, to the Evangelical Churches of Zambia with SIM support. So I think that was one thing that was amazing to me, is that there's lots of mission hospitals in Zambia, and this is the SIM one, which just seemed one of those coincidences in, God pointing us to this particular hospital. It covers medicine, surgery, paediatrics, maternity, and ophthalmology. But in telling you a bit more about Makingi, what I wanted to do is look at the background of why we need mission hospitals. Why do we need to go and serve there? So the next slide I've got is just some pictures to give you a flavour of healthcare in Zambia. Zambia is a poor country. I think it's classified as lower middle income country. The gross national income per capita, for those who like statistics, which I'm assured my husband does, and there are people like him, the GNI per capita is $3, whereas in the UK it's $35. So it's sort of, we're 10 times less well off than we are here. There's chronic underfunding on health. They spend $192 per head on health per year on average. In this country, they spend $3,300. So that gives you an idea of the funding going into it. The maternal mortality, which is one of those statistics that's used as an indicator of healthcare. In the UK, there are 10 maternal deaths per 100,000 population, and in Zambia it's 580. So that gives you a little flavour of the healthcare and health provision that's there. And in Zambia, there are three tertiary specialist level hospitals. We've got three in the West Midlands alone, let alone the rest of the country. And the sort of district level, secondary level hospitals in Zambia, this stat I'm not as sure of as the others because they all came from WHO, but I could figure out that there's about 14 district level hospitals in Zambia. Six of them are government ones, and there's at least 10 which are mission, and then four which are sort of mine and healthcare from other provision. So a large proportion of healthcare in Zambia is provided by the mission, and the government works with the mission hospitals. They do provide some funding, but mission hospitals do provide a significant amount of healthcare in Zambia. The pictures, these ones are not of Makingi. These are when I've gone on trips with my dad around various hospitals in Zambia. These are photos that I've taken, just to give you an idea of some of them are government hospitals. I think quite a few of these are actually mission hospitals, just to sort of give you a picture of what healthcare is like. So we're going to Makingi Hospital. I think the next slide shows just a broad overview of the entrance to the hospital. I've not actually visited this, so a lot of my information I've got from reading about it and from resources on the internet. Just one thing to mention is a lot of the Makingi photos I found on a blog of someone who'd gone out there to be a surgeon. And sadly, she died of cancer at the beginning of this year. So that is why there's been this opening for a surgeon, why they're desperate for a surgeon to go there. But she'd got an amazing blog, which has been really helpful just to find out about surgical care there. So there's another full-time surgeon there. There's another three doctors. They're the Zambian staff in the hospital. And then there's some other missionaries at a school there and in the local town, Kasempa, which is nearby. So that's the community we're going to be working with. And this hospital is very much seen as a way to reach people with the gospel. The society is a lot freer, that if you come to the mission hospital, there'll be people evangelising them, the staff, praying with them. The working day starts with prayers in the morning. The whole hospital staff gather together and pray at 7:30 every morning. What will we actually be doing? The next slide is just something for you to look at while I waffle on about that. I'll be being a general surgeon, but also being a mum. So I'm going to have to figure out how to do that part-time. And then, as Phil said, he's going to be doing something towards helping with the maintenance. That picture there is of their broken water pump, which, again, I found this on the internet, finding a charity who were giving money towards fixing their water system, which is one of the current projects they've got going. They're desperately needing someone to help with maintenance, and I have this sneaky suspicion that actually they're going to value Phil's help more than mine, which I think he will be invaluable, because the current hospital administrator is a nurse anaesthetist, and she is overseeing all the administration. She's overseeing all the maintenance, and they have a good team of maintenance people who are very experienced, but they're not very highly qualified. They're sort of school leaver level certification. So I think they're quite desperate for someone to come and help with that. I'll be doing general surgery. General surgery here and general surgery there are very different. The general surgeon there sent me a list of all the operations they do, and it covers gynecology, urology, neurosurgery, plastic surgery, orthopedics, and all sorts of stuff that I've not done really in my training. However, I have the generic skills that, hopefully working with him for a few months, I'll be able to do a lot more than I do here. It's very full on. The day they were saying that the current surgeon, you know, as I said, they start at 7:30 with devotions, and then the doctor's handover is at 8, and they carry on into the day. And they said that if he could, the surgeon would be operating until 10 or 11 at night. It's that kind of, that there's just an incredible need for care there. And the medical director's email to me said, we've got a hard working long hours kind of vibe here. So I think we're going to need a lot of wisdom in knowing how to set out realistic expectations of what we can do, what I can do part-time while still looking after Sammy and Theo, and just being surrounded by the incredible need around us, how we avoid burning out. Some of the challenges of living and working there, just to give you a little bit of a flavour, because I'm aware that I sort of have an idea of what I'm getting into, but for some of you it's just completely foreign. We'll have some accommodation provided, but a lot of the challenges will be related to the distance away from, you know, major centres, major towns that we're going to be living in, and the expenses that come with that of living so far away from infrastructure. That we'll have access to an amazing cell phone network because there weren't very good landline systems. So actually, cell phone technology has almost leapfrogged things that life here, in that their system for transferring money by cell phone is much more advanced than our system here. But we won't have as easy access to phones and internet because it's that much more expensive to use internet. Because we live so far away, I thought I'd look at some of the sort of issues to do with shopping and keeping house, because that's what I'm going to be doing. This is the supermarket in the town, which is about 2.5 hours drive away. And again, I got this from someone's blog on the internet. It's an amazing source of information. I just wanted a picture of the particular shop and found this blog, and she was saying this is what happens when ShopRite runs out of stock. And it's one of the issues when you're living in a place where electricity, you get power cuts almost daily lasting around 12 hours. Your refrigeration is not brilliant, and things like the road system is awful. Getting stuff and getting shopping may be a bit of a challenge. And with that are all the expenses of getting that. So I think it's going to be quite challenging living there. The next picture was a picture of the things that we can get locally. And then it's not all bad there. You know, there's a lot you can do with that. But the next picture is the one that I really like, which is the local fruit and veg market. So there's going to be lots of good stuff. There'll be local fruit and veg that we can buy from local farmers. And we'll be able to employ people to help us with this. If I'm working part-time and trying to look after childcare, we'll need some help. And it's a way of providing income to families by employing people to help. So it's going to be very different living there. I sort of have taken this as an example just to give you an idea of what life will be like living there. I hope that gives you a little bit of a flavour of what it'll be like. I think the next slide, this is just one of the roads in Zambia, if you look at the next one. And this was to remind me to say that it's going to be an interesting journey ahead of us. And we do need a lot of wisdom in preparing, in planning. I think especially planning how to work out working part-time and how we do childcare between the two of us. And as we prepare to go, Phil's already said we do need your prayers now. The next slide was again one that I put up before I did anything else, which is that banner there. And in preparing to go, this is how we want to do it. We want to do it the way we do things in Grace Church, with all those things of, I can't see him, I haven't got my glasses on. Building with excellence, prayer as a foundation. You can read through all of those, but that's how we want to prepare to go, because we're doing this as part of Grace Church. So hopefully that's given you a little bit of a flavour. It's not exhaustive. I don't want to be all kind of, this is a terrible situation we're going into. I mean, there's some great things about going to live there, but I think it will be challenging, and we do really value your prayers. So thank you.
Talking of prayer, before we go on to the questions, we've actually got prayer cards that we've done. Hopefully everyone can put one on their fridge or notice board to be praying for Phil and Kath, Sammy and Theo, while they're going. And also there's a web link. Questions. What provisions are there out there for childcare?
This is a challenge to figure out exactly how we're going to do it. I think the one thing that I confident in is that's the situation I grew up in. And I had a wonderful, amazing, blessed, privileged childhood. And I have friends out there with young kids who are growing up with just an amazing opportunity and challenge. So my sort of underlying thought is, you know, this is a great place to bring up kids. Part of it will childcare in terms of sort of day-to-day care. Part of it will be me. We will be looking to find someone to employ to help look after our kids. So praying for the right person to do that would be great. There's other families on the working as missionaries there. Hopefully we can partner with them in sort of sharing childcare, which again is a wonderful opportunity for our kids to kind of grow up. And we've already been very blessed with our kids growing up as part of an extended family. We'll have a bit more of that as well. Fortunately, we don't need to think about education yet. Kids out there start school at sort of 6, 7. So we're quite happy that Sammy's bright enough. He's going to learn anything he possibly can in the next couple of years. So I don't think we need to worry about that for this sort of 2 years we've committed to. Socially, there'll be the kids of missionary families. There'll also be loads of local Zambian kids. And it's a great way of just understanding more of the world to have those sort of friendships, the kind of friendships that I had as a kid that just give me an idea of, you know, the kids I grew up with and played with as a 5-year-old, what their life looks like now compared to mine. And it's just such an amazing way for kids to have a broader idea of what the world is like. Spiritually, I don't think we need to worry about provision because we're still part of Grace Church, but we're also, I'm waffling, I'll stop there. But ultimately, I think the most important thing for our kids is that their parents are where God wants their parents to be. And that goes for all of us. That's the best childcare we can give. Phil volunteered me to answer this one. and the realities are there's malaria there. We get quite scared about it living in this country because we're not used to it, but living over there, the hospitals are just dealing with every day. They're very experienced in looking after and treating malaria. There's really good diagnostic tests to diagnose it. There's good medication to treat it. And there's a lot you can do to prevent it, which is probably the most important thing. So malaria is one of the risks. Exposure to things like TB, HIV, AIDS in hospital. But again, having worked at Heartlands, I've probably been exposed to it as much as working in McKinney. I think one of my biggest healthcare concerns is road traffic accidents, because that's an incredible risk. There's probably 10 times the risk of you dying due to road traffic accidents there than there is here. And because of the distances, we'll be doing quite a lot of travelling. So I think that's my main healthcare risk. Then there's the sort of more illnesses from diarrhea and so on, and trying to teach kids to wash their hands and not drink dirty water and not drink the bath water and lick their toys in the bath and all these things, which we've been trying to build those lessons in already. But that's probably some of the risks. But we'll have health insurance because we'll be going with Sim, and we're working at an amazing health facility with amazing doctors. So that's a summary of kind of healthcare situation.
Right, is this still on? Yeah. Okay, just a brief flavour for you for the things on my mind. I'm currently renovating a house with Gordon's help over there. Got to finish that off, move into it, finish doing up Kath's parents' place that we're staying at the moment so they can rent that out. And then there's all the issues of packing up stuff, deciding what we're selling, storing, shipping out. All the sort of healthcare issues and getting all that sort of admin side of things, passports for Sammy, and not Sammy Theo. Yeah, he gets called Sammy quite a bit for some reason. Trying to sort of sort out all those sort of logistics of shipping containers and shipping out our Hilux that we bought for transport out there. It's my mind is pulled in all sorts of different directions, and there's these major things, and then I've got to make a decision about, well, what light fitting do I put there, which seems just so trivial, but you've got to make a decision. So that's why I'm feeling particularly pressured. It's the the so many different aspects nature of it. If you've just got one major problem, you can sort of focus on that a bit better. But so lots to do before we can actually go. So prayers for peace about that and trusting God's timing about that are much appreciated. Right, okay, well, I'd probably have at least the first three of those points to be prayer. But if we're only allowed the one, I mean, that is the first and foremost, and then close second is your friendship and sort of support emotionally, and then I suppose that would sort of lead on to logistically as we come to move house. Very appreciative of all those who have already sort of said, yeah, we'll give you a hand when you come to move house, whether it's providing a meal or providing a car to transport a few things. There's you know, communication stuff while we're out there, both in terms of news and of you know, particularly nice for Sammy, for instance, if you know, he was sent a thing or two of token from England now and again, we've endeavoured to be as good stewards as we can with what's admittedly the abundant resources God's granted into our stewardship. We're still going to need sort of financial support as well, but that will come a bit sort of later. That's not something I'm worrying about just at the moment. That would cover it, I think. I suppose we know God is faithful, both from the Bible and from our own experience. So that would be point number one. He's a good place to, or good person to turn to. I think for me it's a realization that he is our firm foundation. We can sort of read something, you know, about him being our foundation in the Bible, and in a, you know, if we're in a context where we're doing okay, we can just sort of glance over that and not fully appreciate always what a firm foundation is. But it's when you hit the tough times and realise that you don't have capacity in and of yourself or one another to deal with something, then he is the one you come back to, and you know, you strip everything else away and start off right. This is God. He is our foundation, and let's sort of build back up from there. I think I already mentioned briefly, for me it was when I was praying through quite concertedly before proposing to Kath about this, and I think you know, I very much had a piece about it afterwards, and so I think if it hadn't been God's call for me to go, he wouldn't have led me to the point of proposing to Kath, but that's my answer, but Kath's obviously quite different.
I was thinking about this and kind of how do I know I've been called, and thinking over it last night, just seeing the hand of God in over the last 30 odd years in my life. As a child, he called me to doing medicine. As a teenager, on my gap year, I was in a random church in Australia and just felt God's call to mission. Then as a student at university, definitely felt God's call to Africa as being part of Jubilee Church in Cape Town, and really shaped by some of the teaching there, teaching on grace and understanding God's grace and seeing how that's such an important message for discipling within Africa, where there's often a rapid response to the gospel, but needing but sometimes quite a legalistic attitude, but understanding grace being such an important thing in discipling, you know, for myself as much as anyone else. The whole sort of New Frontiers ethos that I had when I was at Jubilee, on making disciples, restoring the church, training leaders, planting churches, reaching nations. That was really key in sort of forming my ideas of how to live my life. So that was the kind of call to Africa. Simon Pettit gave a sermon on Remember the Poor in 1998, which has really shaped kind of as a movement, us, but also personally, kind of thinking, what do I do with my life? And then various prophetic words about what we were doing in Africa. The call to Zambia came next after the call to Africa, the call to Zambia, which Phil has gone into. And I think Rich Davis's word over us at that time was really kind of key in that moment of sort of figuring out, yeah, we're heading to Zambia. And then Phil's alluded to this more recent call to Makingi, yeah, the coming together of, you know, before we went on this holiday to Zambia, I'd written a list of all the hospitals where actually I could possibly work, and there were only a handful of them. Makingi was one of them. There were some others. Arrived in Zambia, my dad, as he is wont to do, just says, oh, I think you ought to read this. And it was a book on Makingi that we came back having had our hearts really connected with this guy from SIM at a mission fair we'd been on. Phil was emailing him, and then I see this request saying we need a surgeon at Makingi, and just things seem to fall in place. So that call to Makingi has been the final bit, but I've seen that faithfulness of God in narrowing it down, and just over 30 years this, yeah, it's just confirmed the call over time, I suppose. There hasn't been a light bulb moment, but lots of light bulbs along the way, more of a landing strip. There are 72 different languages. So the main language is used, sort of the court language and official language is English. There are probably amongst those, there are about 7 to 10, depending who you ask, major languages. The one where I grew up is Bemba. The one where I was at primary school is Lunda. And then the one where we're going to is Kikaonde. So there's, you know, three different languages. So I don't know Kikaonde at all. But that may be something that we're going to have to do. In 2 years, we're not going to become fluent, but it will be important to just learn, as when you go to any country, just learn how to greet people and make an effort to start learning the local language. But I don't think there's any way with all that we're going to be doing that we're going to become fluent in Kikaonde.
Well, I mean, the position itself is unpaid. We're not employed by SIM at all, no. So, yeah, they expect all their missionaries to raise their own funds for this. Obviously, we've been able to get a head start with you know, what God's granted to us, but, yeah, we'll still need to supplement that. Well, yes, we've... good question. We bought a two-year-old Toyota Hilux over here, which seems to be, you know, the family vehicle for out in Africa, taking an advantage of the fact that Kath will be a returning resident and able to import it duty-free, whereas it's normally 100% duty on things like vehicles. So we'll get that out there, and hopefully that will do us well. And it's the sort of thing that, you know, if God brings us back here after 2 years, we'll probably be able to sell it for more out there than we've paid for it here. So it seems to be a wise sort of investment to make.
As far as I'm aware, the nearest filling station will be in Solwezi, which is a town 2.5 hours drive away. I suspect that there'll be that, you know, the hospital will have some fuel resources. So if we ran out, we could probably persuade them. But I don't think we can use them as a filling station. We'll have jerry cans. And the hospital have 3 generators. They have one which just does the essentials in the hospital, so really minimal. They have another one which does the sort of a big, much bigger generator, which does the hospital and some of the sort of associated things. I think that runs the laundry for making sure that there's clean sheets and linen and scrubs and, you know, theatre drapes, etc. And then they have got one big generator which can power the whole compound, but that just uses up an enormous amount of fuel. And Zambia is a landlocked country with no fuel of its own, so every bit of fuel is imported, a lot of it by road in oil tankers from Dar es Salaam, from Tanzania. So it's incredible. Fuel is very expensive. So they don't run that generator very often, and it mainly is just the standby generator for emergencies. A lot of people are looking to getting inverters and solar panels. So in going with our mindset is thinking of battery-operated stuff or stuff we could run off a very low-power stuff we could run off an inverter. But I'm now treading on the toes of the electrical engineer next to me, so I should be quiet.
We may well export a solar power system out to at least keep computers and Wi-Fi going or something.
Just to add to that, the thought that I keep coming back to is that we're not, you know, initially we were thinking we're sort of relocating, we're just moving to Zambia, but this to me is part of us, part of Grace Church is going there. And so I kind of want to just encourage you all that it is kind of feels like it is all of you in a way a little bit coming with us. You're not letting us go, but we're taking a bit of you out there, and as you join with us in supporting us and praying us, it's kind of you get to be part of this exciting adventure too, even if you can't physically come. Hopefully some of you will visit, but even if you can't physically come, you'll be part of it, and we'll still feel very much part of Grace Church.
Can I just add to that? I found it very helpful, the picture of the church as a body, as described in the Bible. And, my picture for this is as if, we as a family are, say, a hand reaching out to somewhere else. That hand can't do that without being connected to an arm and, shoulder and... And then all the whole sort of body systems. You did it to me. And all those other systems that go on, the heart pumping and the liver working and the kidneys doing their filtering and all these things, in order that the hand may actually move. And obviously in moving, other part of the arm's more affected by that than the shoulder, and the shoulder might be more affected by that than other systems. That just sort of helps me, and that's the way that I'd want to sort of remain plugged in to this fellowship.